Gracious Father, we come to you right now just to praise you and thank you for allowing us to be here once again in your presence. I ask right now, dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this preaching hour, that you, O God, will be glorified above all things. I pray that you would allow us right now, dear Heavenly Father, to do what you have called us to do. I pray right now, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless all of those who are here under the sound of my voice. Those who are dealing with anything, any struggles, anything that's going on, I pray that you would allow this word, Heavenly Father, to be a help, to be an encouragement to those who are in need right now of a word. I ask right now, Heavenly Father, that you hide me behind the cross so that I may not be seen, but that you may be heard. We thank you right now and we praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We are on our focus factor, and this morning our text will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verse 9a. And I'm going to ask that all who is physically able, if you would not mind to stand for the reading of the word, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9a. As I will be reading from the English Standard Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9a, and it reads as follows. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Thank you. You may be seated. For our time allotted together this morning, I just want to talk from the subject, gazing on grace. Gazing on grace. Gazing on grace. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This whole passage, I believe, is one of the most powerfulest passages of Scripture in the Bible for all believers. To understand the foundation of the epitome of this passage, I believe that the foundation lies within the confines of this verse, which says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Just that little part. Our Lord here, he says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." The word grace here in the Greek form in the New Testament is penned some 155 times. That should tell us a lot, because if it's penned that many times, that means that it is an important situation. It is something for us who are being saved to really pay attention to, that the word grace has been penned some 155 times. This is only in the New Testament. But grace, what does grace mean? What is grace? What is he talking about here? Many of us might know that he's talking about divine favor. We understand grace as being divine favor. We understand it as being divine blessings and even divine benefits. And it is inevitably understood that our salvation is of grace. Justification for us is all by the grace of God. Our sanctification is all of the grace of God. And futuristically, our glorification also is all consumed within the framework of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's spoken of as the riches of his grace. It actually says the surpassing riches of his grace. What do we understand about surpassing? Well, in Greek, Surpassing means to, it means hyper or it means super. So we would understand that as being this type of grace is abundant grace. It's the riches of his grace. It's the surpassing riches of his grace. But let us not forget, of course, that is the grace of God is in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing here. John chapter 1, verse 14 says that he, meaning Christ, is full of grace. Verse 16 also says that of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Acts chapter 4, Luke writes this. He says that the early Christians experienced the Lord's abundant grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says that we stand in grace. We are always standing under the umbrella of grace, no matter where we go or what we're doing. We are always standing under the grace of God, i.e., and Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says that God gives us an abundance of grace. James says it this way. He says that we have received a greater grace. Peter says, he says that we have been given the manifold grace of God, meaning we have been given grace in every way, in every fashion of life. Grace is here. Grace is on us. It says manifold. It means no matter what it is. Manifold means that it can be in different ways, in different situations, but that is encompassed in the total grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says it best, I believe. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that, having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. No matter where you go in the Bible, you will see the grace of God in every situation. And Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, says that God is able to make it abound to us so that we will have all sufficiency in all things, no matter what we're doing, so that we can do every good work for his glory. Now, as we move on to our text on this morning, our Apostle Paul, we know, has been dealing with a thorn in his flesh. Literally, that word thorn there, it means a stake. If you've seen stakes, we've seen stakes in the ground over to where we're going to, where we're building at our new campus. You can see a lot of stakes in the ground where they're putting things in the ground and they're showing, they're marking off things. But here, that's in the Greek, that's what it means. It's a stake. And Paul says that it was a thorn in his flesh, literally a stake. You can imagine he was being jugged in the side, jugged in his flesh. It was a thorn, he said. And so he knows that it said early on in the passage, it says that it was given to him. That's important to understand, because this is a gift to him. This thorn in the flesh was a gift to him. Why? Because it said that it was given to him. We know that God is the giver of these things. So God allowed this messenger of Satan, a messenger, what we would understand would be an angel or an angel of darkness, a messenger of Satan, was given to him, was allowed to buffet him, he says. Why? To keep him from becoming conceited. Why would he become conceited? Well, because this is the Apostle Paul. Who would say it? Paul? I'm Paul, right? He even said that I've been up to the third heavens. I've seen this. I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. I don't understand. But if anybody has a right to boast, I can boast. But here he said that it was a thorn in the flesh to keep him from boasting, to keep him from becoming conceited in the powerful works that he has done. Because what has Paul done? Paul has started church after church after church after church. He's done work after work after work. He confronted Peter to his face. He's preached to many of people. He's done so much good work. He's done so much good work for the church. And it was easy for him to say, look at me. I am doing this great work. I am penning these letters. I am preaching. I am teaching. I'm in prison and I don't care about it. But God gave him a thorn just so that he wouldn't do that. So he might not become conceited. We know that this thorn, it will cause pain and agony. Verse 8, if you still have your Bibles open, it says that three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Three times he went to God begging. Over and over. The Greek understanding here would mean that he pleaded over and over in order for this to come away from him, in order so that God would take it away. Three times he said, I pleaded. But here in our text on this morning, he got his answer. He got his answer. And it says that the Lord answered him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so on this morning, in order for us to keep focus on his grace, in order for us to make sure that as we have experienced changes and are going through what we're going through, in order to make our new beginnings across town, we need to understand, we need to keep this in mind, that the big idea, the only thing that I came to tell you on this morning, is that grace is God's provision for our every need that we have in Christ. That's all. I just stopped by to tell you that grace is God's provision for every need that we have in Christ Jesus. That's the big idea. So as we move to our text this morning, the first thing I want us to see is that we must focus on God's sufficient grace. Focus on God's sufficient grace. Here in verse 9, he opens up by saying, but he said to me. But he said to me, it's in the perfect tense, in the passive voice, meaning that it happened in the past. And it carries with it an ongoing significance. He says, but he said, past tense, said to me. But here he moves forward and he says that my grace is sufficient. This is the present tense, meaning it's sufficient in all things, at all times, in all types of situations, no matter what you experience, no matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter if you can't pay your bills right now. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a job right now. It doesn't matter if they said no to your home right now. It doesn't matter if you're going through situation after situation. It doesn't matter if you're a young kid and you're getting bullied at school. It doesn't matter that if you're in Christ Jesus, he says that my grace is sufficient for you to go through whatever it is you're going through. The point we look at right now is the fact that each time that Paul asked or prayed to have the thorn removed, God did not answer by removing his pain. He just said that his grace was sufficient and it was all that Paul needed to go through. There is purpose in your pain. There is purpose in the fact that we experience going through situations. For Paul here, and for us, we know that number one, the pain was spiritually productive. This pain for Paul, it grew his spirit man. It helped him to number one, get on his knees and depend on the Holy Spirit's power. Not only that, he said that it did it to keep him from becoming conceited. And so this pain humbled Paul. We know that we must stay humble in all things and in every situation, no matter what we're going through. Living Hope, in our experiences lately that we are have dealt with in changes and situations here at the church, we must stay humbled. As we're moving to where we're going, we are going to experience some more. And I'm here to tell you on this morning that we must stay humbled. Not only that, the purpose of the pain was spiritually productive. The purpose of the pain was to keep him humbled, but also the purpose of the pain drew him to intimate prayer with God. Isn't that amazing that when you get a bad doctor's report that you find yourself in your secret closet? You find yourself praying all the time. Josh let me know that he's been very blessed with Mr. Larry on Wednesday night's Bible study. If you haven't been here, I would encourage you to come. But he let me know on this week, he sent me a small text and he said, I was really blessed. He was blessed by his teaching on prayer and how we should be intimately in prayer. And guess what? When we go through our situations, this is what happens. It causes us to go into intimate prayer with God no matter what the situation is. And so this grace of God here, the Lord granted Paul relief not by removing his suffering. He granted him relief not by removing his pain. He actually gave it to him, but by giving him the grace that was sufficient enough for him to endure the situation. That's what God did. Sometimes when we find ourselves praying, that's what's going to happen. He's not going to take you out of the situation. And sometimes he's not going to even pay your bills. He might let your lights go off. He might let your car run out of gas. He might let the repo man come pick it up and take it away. But all through that, his grace is sufficient enough to endure it. Keep your minds on his grace. And so this means that there is never a shortage of grace. Grace is always there for you. Here's the point this morning. It's amazing how many people deny the fact that the grace of God is all sufficient for life's problems. You can go to a million of churches over throughout this country today, and many of them are preaching a gospel that says that you can do this, or you can do that, or you need to be doing this, or you don't have enough faith, or you're not doing this. But nobody's preaching that the grace of God is enough, that the grace of God is all sufficient for you. So when God said that his grace was sufficient, he was saying that all you have and all that I have to give to you is my grace. I'm not going to take you out of it. You have all that I have for you. It's my grace. And so I have emptied myself towards you, he says. I've given you the grace to go on. And so it is because of my grace that you have to go through your disappointment. It is with my grace that you will go through your suffering. It is with my grace that you would deal with your sin. It is with my grace that you would deal with your temptation. And it is because of my grace that you are able to even serve, he says. It is because of my grace that you are even able to obey my commands. It is because of my grace that you are able to hold up your hands and worship me. And as Peter says, that it's all because of the manifold grace of God. It's all because of grace. It's all because of grace. The great preacher, Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, he told a story. He said that one day he was on his way home from work. He said that he was on his way home from a hard day's work, and he was feeling very tired and weary and depressed. And he said that this verse came to his mind. He said, just that part, my grace is sufficient for you. He said in his mind, he immediately compared himself to a fish in the river. He said that at one point of time, he thought that as a fish, the fish would drink pint after pint of water, and eventually he would drink the streams dry, and when he drinks the streams dry, he would end up dead from that. But he said that God said, drink up, little fish. The river said, drink up, little fish, for my water is sufficient for you. He said he thought about a little mouse in the granaries of Egypt eating all of the grain throughout the silos there in Egypt. But he said that he thought that as a little mouse, the mouse would eat up all of the granaries, and when he eat up all of the granaries, he would die. But he said Joseph looked at him and said, eat away, little mouse, for my granaries are sufficient for you. He said, then he thought of a man climbing a high, high mountain, and he reached its lofty summit and shredded lest he forget to breathe and breathe all of the air around him, and he would exhaust all of the oxygen in the atmosphere, to which he says that the Creator boomed his voice out of heaven and said, breathe away, O man, and fill your lungs, for my atmosphere is sufficient for you. This is the way that we should think of in life. As long as we are still here, his grace is sufficient for us. As long as we are still dealing with pain, as long as we are still going through our situations, it doesn't matter what it is. God's grace is sufficient for us to go through it. But not only did he say to Paul that my grace is sufficient for you, he says that we should also focus on his strengthening grace. Focus on his strengthening grace. Produced by the grace of God is a broad completion, and it reaches its full potential when we are weak, this strengthening grace. When we are weak, when we are exhausted, when we feel as though we can't fight, we're fightless. In this, God says here that when this happens, his power is magnified. His power is magnified. You see, his power is brightly illuminated when we are at our weakest moments within ourselves. We must learn that it is not up to us when we are going through oppositions or walking through our valleys. It's not up to us. It is the grace of God with his power that has been produced through our weakness that we're able to go on. And so Paul here, we understand and we know that Paul was a fighter. Paul was a fighter, and he had to learn to depend on the power of God and on the grace of God, no matter what the situation was. And so you see that we are at our strongest when we are weak. That's the point. When we are weak, we are strong, because it's not by our power. But not only that, we are at our weakest when we are strong. When we think that we are going to be in the midst, when we are going to take it on ourselves, we are weak. We are weak. We should never think that we have the power to do anything. We should never think that we have the power to do it on our own, because that's not the point. The point here is when you're weak, He's made strong in you. That's the point. Verse 10 right here, verse 10D, he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's what he says. It's right here in the Word. And so I want you to remember this right here. Remember this. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in his humility on his way to the cross, what could be a weaker position? What could be a weaker picture? What could be a weaker portrait of weakness being strong? They whipped him all night long. He carried the cross, his own demise instrument. He carried it on his shoulders up that hill. Not only that, when they got up there, they laid him down. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He said that he was thirsty. They gave him bitter drink. He never fought back. He never said a mumbling word, because he was weak at that time. What could have been a more weaker moment than our Lord going to that cross? He never fought back. Why? Because he knew that that was his strongest moment. He was about to be revealed as the Lord and Savior and conquer death. So he had to do it. He had to go through his weakness, so that the strengthening power of God could be revealed. And so, that's how we should be. We must bear our own crosses. Our Lord said it himself. If you want to follow me, you must take up your cross. And so this is the same thing. In order for us to go through our situations, in order for us to see that our situations is not of us, but is of God and is of Christ's strength, we must understand that we have to be at our weaker moment and carry our cross, so that his grace can be sufficient and his power can be made perfect. Which brings me to my last point. We must focus on his perfecting grace. One, we must focus on his sufficient grace. Two, we must focus on his strengthening grace. But lastly, we must focus on his perfecting grace. Right here in the text, he says, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Here's the point. His grace is necessary because his grace has and produces perfecting characteristics within the growing purposes of our lives. That's the point. Peter says that he will perfect, confirm, strengthen and establish you. Paul says to the Philippian church, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let therefore as many as are, here it is, perfect, have this attitude. What attitude? The attitude in verses 13 and 14. And so we have been made perfect. We may not look like it now, but we are perfect. Sometimes I don't act like it, but I'm perfect. Sometimes I don't talk like it, but I'm perfect. Sometimes I don't look like it, but I'm perfect. And so if we are in Christ Jesus, we are perfect, and we already have what we need, his perfecting strength, his perfecting grace, in order for us to go through. That's all it is. That's all it's about. And so we've seen Christ's strength in the grace of the cross. But then when you move from the cross, and 3 days later, bright early, as they say in my churches, bright early, one Sunday morning, he got up. You see his perfecting grace in an empty tomb. That's what you see. It's perfect. He got up, it says, with all perfected power in his hands. Why? Because he had all sufficient grace. Why? He had all strengthening grace. And not only that, he had all perfecting grace. Jonathan Edwards, he says about this grace, he says, grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. That's what grace is. Grace is nothing but glory. God said to Paul here that my grace is sufficient for you so that people will see my power. So that people will see my power and I will get the glory. That's what he told Paul. And this is what he's telling us on this morning. No matter what we go through, Living Hope, no matter what it is, we have to keep gazing on his grace. No matter what the situation, no matter what the changes are here in our church, we have to keep gazing on his grace. Why? Because it will give God the ultimate glory when people see us going through our situation, all because of the grace of God. That's it. Billy Graham said this. He said that one day he was driving through a rural town, and while driving through that rural town, he ended up getting a speeding ticket. Get the speeding ticket, and the cop pulled him over, gave him the ticket, but he didn't give him a ticket to pay. Told him that you got to go to court. If you know anything about that, you go through some of these rural towns, they don't give you a speeding ticket. They give you a ticket and tell you got to go see the judge. Well, he said that he ended up going to court a few days later. And when he goes to court, he says that he's standing up there, and the judge looked at him, and the judge recognizes who he is. He says, well, you are the televangelist, Billy Graham. Billy Graham said, yes, I am. The judge said, well, your fine is $10. And then the judge said, but I'm going to reach in my pocket, and I'm going to pay the $10 for you right now. And then he looked at Billy Graham and told him, after we come out of here, I want to take you and treat you to a steak dinner. Billy Graham said that that's what grace is. That's what grace is. Even though you are stuck in your situation, God will make your enemies bless you all because of his wonderful grace. We need to understand that is what grace is. That is what grace looks like. And so I say to you on this morning, Living Hope, continue to keep gazing on grace. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you Thank you for this message on this morning. Bless your name. Bless you who you are, oh God. We ask right now that you allow that our time together this morning, oh God, will be sufficient. We know that your grace is sufficient no matter what we're going through, no matter what's going on in our lives. So I ask you right now, dear Heavenly Father, that you would continuously bless us as we get ready to fellowship with each other over our meal. Bless this food, oh God. And I ask right now, dear Heavenly Father, that you would allow us to continue to gaze upon your grace, to focus on your strengthening grace, to focus on your perfecting grace, but to focus on the fact that your grace is all sufficient for no matter what we go through. It's the manifold grace of God. It's the all-sufficient grace of God. We thank you and we praise you, oh God, and we ask for traveling mercies as we travel to our final destinations, and that you will bless us on this morning as we continuously do what you've called us to do. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify you in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.